Number 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. This means that she clothed her family. She did the mending. She took care of the family in a beautiful way. And so, I see here efficiency, thriftiness, and skillfulness. She was able to sew. She was able to mend. She was able to make dresses. She was able to do those wonderful things. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. She was charitable, and she was merciful to the needy. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That doesn't say anything to you either. Suppose you put on scarlet or you put on green, what difference does it make? No, the word scarlet means they were double garmented, which means they had more than one garment. In other words, her husband wasn't a one suit guy. She saw to it that he at least had two. She wasn't a chick that ran over the place with some raggedy old dress. She had a beautiful dress, and not just one, many. She was clothed. Her household was clothed with scarlet. Scarlet means more than one suit or one dress or one garment. It means double garmented is its literal translation, which means manifold, many. That's something. In here I see the admirable characteristics of fearless, and she was a woman of God who believed in abundance. She did not believe that all she needed was just one dress and that was it. She believed that her God was big enough to see that she would have that abundance. Because Jesus Christ came that you and I might have life, what? More abundantly. Verse 22. You'll love this. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. That means she takes care of herself. She dresses attractively. She's a sharp looker. That's right. When she walks down the street, the men go, that, I guess you understand now, don't you, fellas? You're something. Her clothing is silk and purple. Only royalty wore silk and purple. God said that this woman of God was wearing silk and purple. She's royalty. She's not some little old nincompoop dropping off the end of a pier. That's right. She's not some chick. She's a woman of God, and her clothing was that of royalty. And here I see she was a good seamstress, she was tasteful, and she was a refined woman. She had taken Dorothy Owen's class on Christian etiquette. Dorothy will like that. That's right, she knew how to handle herself. She was not a sore thumb when she got out in public or in private. And that's a woman of God. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Her husband is known in the gates for her husband to be seated in the gates was a tremendous honor, because the judgments, the decisions of a community were made by the elders who had arrived at the position of dignity and worthiness that they could sit at those gates and make the decisions. Her husband was one who sat at the gate helping to make those decisions regarding the entire city and community. She was not married to a nincompoop type of husband, a cop-out. She was married to a man who felt like he was a man. Not only felt like it, but was, because she treated him like one. Like I teach in this class, she cannot be your queen unless you make him king. If he's going to be the king in your house and you're going to be the first lady of that house, his queen, then you have to act like it and he has to treat you like it. And if you're going to have him as king, then you have to treat him like it. See, it's a do-it-together kit. That's right. And so you lift up that husband, and that husband is known because of his ability and the greatness that you helped to make him. And here I've noted that she was a credit to her husband. No dishonor. He sitteth among the elders of the land means he was popular. This is a great characteristic, that this woman was popular and helped her husband to become popular. Verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it. Where do you think she ever found time to do that? And delivereth girdles unto the merchants. This verse means that she helped with the family budget. And while she was making these things, the children were learning how to do it also. The children were just not left to grow up wild or by themselves. They were given instruction. They were shown how this thing was done. And so they learned. In order to do this, the characteristics that I see, she had to be dependable and she had to be confident. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. To rejoice in time to come is a phrase meaning she's always rejoicing. Doesn't mean in the sweet by and by you get your pie. She's rejoicing all the time while that family is growing up with her. Strength and honor that have come to her because of her husband in the gates and so forth, they're her clothing. She is thankful to God. Here I see great respect. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. Not with the poison of an asp, but with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Isn't that something? She opens her mouth with wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Many people have knowledge, but they don't put it into practice. See? Yeah. She didn't come in and say, well, what'd you leave your old socks laid down there for? Marry you. Yell at you all the time. Why don't you pick up your socks? Marry with you. Why don't you hang up your pants? Put your shoes out. I stumble over. Why don't I marry you? No. You can own the most expensive house in the world, but it's pretty doggone empty unless there's people in there you love and who love you. The biggest mansion in the world's awful to live in if there's no love. You know, if you want to take a flip back over here, James, there's an interesting scripture back here in James. Verse 3, chapter 3. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the captain desires. Even so the tongue is a little member, but boasteth great what? Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it's set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds, serpents, of things in the sea, tamed and have been tamed, but the tongue can know what? It's an unruly evil full of deadly what? You know what? Only God can tame that tongue.